This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
What's up, guys? It is Trish Blackwell. You are listening to Confidence on the Go. This is episode number 98. Gosh, we're closing in on that 100 mark, which is so exciting. Welcome to new listeners. Welcome to everyone who's already part of the Be More community. As you guys know, this is a community about being more of who we can be, being our best selves. And I'm here to motivate your mind, your movement, and your meaning. Now, today's podcast, we're talking about have you had no idea. And what that means is we are talking about the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. I have had many requests to do a show on eating disorders and disordered eating patterns. As many of you know, that is an integral part of my personal story and what actually launched me into wanting to start my own business and do a podcast and help others and getting to personal training. And I mean, really just gave me the desire to want to help others because I knew how painful and lonely that experience of having a eating disorder and disordered eating patterns and body image issues was. It was lonely and it was something I hid from the world. And so I want to shed light and bring awareness to that. It is actually National Eating Disorder Awareness Week here in the United States. So I actually hadn't even planned on doing a show on this until the end of March. And when I realized that it was the National Awareness Week, I said, you know what? It's meant to be. So here we are. We're going to talk about today. We're going to be covering how to shine light into the darkness. And we're doing that by celebrating this Awareness Week. We're also going to talk about binge eating disorder, which is the eating disorder I struggled with myself most significantly, that and bulimia. And I want to just dispel some rumors that maybe you aren't aware of. And whether you're listening for yourself today or maybe someone you know, I just want you to know that you definitely aren't alone in this. And if it's not something you struggle with, I want you to know there is someone you know and love dearly that does, because this the problem of eating disorders is so widely spread. It's so prevalent in our society, and it's so silent. No one talks about it. So the people you love may be struggling. You may have no idea. So hopefully today I can help you look for signs to be able to help and recognize these patterns. But you know, we're going to talk about binge eating disorder, which is actually classified as an EDNOS, which is E-D-N-O-S. It's an eating disorder not otherwise specified, because I want to help you understand today that eating disorders aren't just reserved for those 92-pound girls who get hospitalized and are on their deathbed and just skin and bones. But it actually, there's no discrimination in eating disorders. It's not just women. There are millions of men who struggle with them as well. And it expresses itself differently physically and emotionally in various people. So there's no way to look at someone and see if they have one or not. So I want to help you understand a little bit what's going on inside of that. And then finally, we're going to close the show today with ways that you can help someone you love. Also ways that you can help yourself, some resources. So I also want to just give a thank you to everyone who is actively engaged in this community. You guys, this is such a powerhouse of community. I love getting your success stories. I love hearing your voicemails. You can always leave me a voicemail at trishblackwell.com. There's a tab to the right that says send Trish a voicemail, and you can edit it. So you don't have to, it's not like a one take and one and done. You can make sure you're comfortable with it, but I just, there's something so wonderful about hearing your voice. So please continue sharing with me in that form as well. And so thank you for your emails. Thank you for just hanging out with me, guys. We are doing big things together. Every action that you take makes a difference in someone else's life. Never underestimate that. And I sometimes forget that myself. We all have our hard days. We have days where we get downtrodden or just discouraged or feel like we're just going through the motions. And those are the days it's most important to pull yourself aside and realize that what you do is for a reason, that every day is a gift, that this is a purpose-driven life that you are living, and that everything you do matters. The small interactions whether or not you know them matter. The compliments that you give to people matter. They are not wasted. So keep doing those. So just keep spreading love. That's all I want to say. So let's talk briefly about what Awareness Week is. So National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. The website for it is NEDAWARENESS. So that's NED Awareness. So National Eating Disorder Awareness. .org. And the official dates of the Awareness Week is February 22nd through February 28th. This is 2015. And the theme that they have that the National Eating Disorder Association put out this year is the concept that I had no idea. And I really liked this concept of, and they're targeting people and like a lot of people who struggle with eating disorders. I think sometimes we don't even recognize it as a problem because we think it's a control mechanism, or we think we have a weird relationship with food, but it's not a disorder because I'm not anorexic, or it's not a disorder because I'm exercising. There's all these justifications we make to ourselves. And so off their website, I pulled a couple of their statements that I had no idea statements. The first one is, I had no idea that my passion had become a problem. And I love that because our passion, sometimes you're just so committed to getting healthy that it's like, I'm passionate about it. Well, then there is such a thing as being too obsessed with your health. A lot of personal trainers, and to be honest, a lot of people in the fitness world fall into this, that we start worshiping our own bodies and being so hypercritical over absolutely every morsel of food we think about putting into our bodies, that it becomes a compulsion, an obsession, and an addiction. And as a result, your passion becomes a problem. The next one they have is, I had no idea that eating disorders don't discriminate. And you know what? That is the truth. They don't discriminate. This is open to every race. It is open to every gender, every age group. You might be surprised to find out that the largest rise of eating disorders among women currently are women in their 30s and 40s and early 50s who are going through major life changes. So eating disorders aren't reserved to 12, 13, 14 14-year-old adolescent girls or college age kids. But there's definitely a demographic everywhere. You guys, this is not just I was young and didn't realize what was going on. This is a pervasive problem, and it doesn't discriminate. And like I said earlier, men are not excluded from this. So something I want us to be very sensitive to, and if you're a man out there listening right now, that I just want you to hear that you're not alone. You know, the hardest thing for me when I was going through this phase of my life, this addiction, which was really from age 13 to 23 for me, a full decade, the most challenging thing was that I thought I was the only person out there who had such a deep, dark secret, that my struggle was so unique and that no one would understand, that I hid behind this facade of perfectionism, thinking that, oh my God, what if only people knew? I mean, as a result, I was insecure, and you know, on the outside, I kept a great, great facade up, but on the inside, I was desperate and alone and in prison, and I felt shackled, and I really thought that this was this dark secret that I couldn't let anyone know, because I didn't know anyone else that was struggling in the way that I did, and I certainly didn't want to talk about it, and I certainly didn't know anybody talking about it, and I didn't know where to start. So if you're out there and you've experienced that, you've felt alone, I want you to hear me very clearly today. You are not alone. So there are people to help you. There are a lot of tools and resources I'm going to share with you today to help, but also there is hope for you, because if I can get through it and I can find healing and freedom and recovery, I know that you can too, because I honestly thought I was a lost cause. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I thought that, that thought actually crossed my mind. I was too far gone. I was a lost cause. It consumed my mind and my life. But those were lies. I'm free, and you can be too. So they continue. I had no idea that eating disorders aren't just a phase. You know, they aren't. So if you're a mom out there and you think your child's going through, oh, it's just a phase, she's trying to lose some weight, please take it seriously. You know, and like we said about age, it doesn't discriminate to age. Eating disorders start as young as 8 years old, and sometimes even younger. In fact, many of you have heard the statistic before. You may not remember it though, but Here in America, about 80% at any given time, 80% of 10-year-old girls are on a diet or have been on a diet recently. You see, as 10-year-olds, we watch our parents, and majority of women, 50% of women at any given time are dieting. So we're passing down some generational habits that can actually be really detrimental. And please don't write them off as just a phase. We want to teach our children how beautiful they are, and that it's not about controlling food, or certain foods are bad and certain foods are good. So they continue. They say, I had no idea that the perfect images I see every day are digital illusions. And I didn't know that either. It took me years to understand that these, you know, particularly in the fitness world and athletic world, where I thought, well, that's not, you know, it's not Cosmo magazine or Victoria's Secret, where I'm seeing these, you know, clearly they're airbrushed. These are supermodels. I was looking at fitness magazines and women who looked like they had athletic builds. And I didn't realize that they go on this crazy diet that's really preps them for one day, one photo shoot. And that they're severely dehydrated, so that their muscles show, that there's all these physical manipulations that you can do to prepare yourself for a shoot like that. Two, you have an army. I mean an army of people doing your hair, doing your makeup, shading in your body with different types of tone, and so that you actually look tanner and more toned than you actually are. And then the photographers themselves were using the lighting and taking thousands of pictures to capture that one picture that they then continue to edit and airbrush as well. So these images that we are surrounded by, even the ones that we think are healthy, that are in women's health or in fitness magazines, or that we aspire to, that we think are really, really beautiful, actually are fake. The other ones they say is, I had no idea that bullying can trigger disordered eating. I had no idea that my quest for health was making me sick. And I had no idea that eating disorders are often overlooked and misdiagnosed. And I want to touch on that one real quick for you, that eating disorders are often overlooked. And I think they are too, because I think for a lot of us and who have gone through this, or are currently, maybe you're walking the journey right now, you had no idea that you're actually as sick as you are. And I don't mean sick like, oh, you you should feel bad about it. That you actually need help. That's the thing. And you think, well, I'm just a little bit off. But I think if you were to ask yourself, like, how chained are you to this addiction? How many times a day do you think about food? How many times a day do you think about what you weigh? How many times a day do you think about your body and what it looks like and how others are perceiving you? How many times a day are you criticizing or critiquing yourself physically? How many times a day do you look in the mirror, or perhaps you actually avoid the mirror? But really, if you were to look at what percentage of your thought life per day gets devoted to your image, which could be related to food, exercise, all those things, if we were to put them all into one category and just say image, what percentage of your mind is going into thinking about that? I want you to be really honest as you think about that and answer it for yourself. Because it's when we get to that point that you can decide and realize, wow, is this really dominating my life or not? Because you may have no idea. And I want you today to realize that if it is dominating your life, that it's time to get some help and to make some change. The other thing is, like I told you guys, I had 10 years that I really flew under the radar. Certainly some people knew, but I mean, a lot of people didn't know. I just, particularly being an athlete, a high level athlete, I struggled with bulimia and binge eating and compulsive exercise, also laxative abuse. But the compulsive exercise was really easy for me to do. And as this athlete that people thought, wow, she's team captain. Wow, she must be really motivated. Not only is she doing our regular team workouts, but she does an extra 2 hours on her own. Well, you know, that no wonder why she's so talented, or she's had such a great season. Meanwhile, they didn't know that I was doing it out of compulsion, that I could not do it. If I didn't do it, I felt guilty that I was making up for calories I took in, that there was my mind was just constantly doing math and on the go, and I was absolutely miserable. So when I finally found recovery and got help and wrote a book, I had a lot of people that said, gosh, Trish, I had no idea that you struggled with something like this. You know, and essentially they're saying, gosh, I had no idea that you were so miserable. And I was, because I look back and I was, that was the, what I was giving the world between age 13 and 23 was half of Trish Blackwell. The world for those 10 years got 50% of Trish Blackwell. And I'm determined now to give the world 100% of me every single day. You know, and 50% of Trish Blackwell was fine. That was still respected. It was good enough. It was good enough to get by. But that was from the outside. From the inside, it wasn't good enough to get by. You've heard me say I was miserable. I felt imprisoned. I was dragging along and thinking, how can I continue to live like this? How am I ever going to have a significant relationship that has, that actually is about the person, that I'm not selfishly thinking about myself all the time? How am I ever going to get pregnant, have a child, and not be freaking out about my body changing? Like, all these things were so scary to me. Because 50% of living is no way to live. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to live that way. So you don't have to face a battle like this on your own. Whatever kind of eating pattern you might have that's negative of any type, or disordered eating, or maybe it's just poor self-image, it's time to break the silence. It's time to get some help, and time to know that you are not alone. You are not a freak. You're not the only one to struggle with something like this. You know, eating disorders such as, you know, the classic ones that most of us hear about, anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorder, they're serious and potentially life-threatening conditions. And they don't just affect us physically. That's the thing. They affect us, I think, more in the long term. It's this emotional impact that they make on us. There's an estimate that currently in the United States, 30 million people are impacted by an eating disorder. And I just want you to realize that that's a big number, and it shouldn't discourage you. I want it to encourage you. And I want to encourage you to help yourself or to help someone else. Like I said, that was the biggest aha in my life, is when in that, my own journey, is that when I realized that I wasn't the only one that struggled. Interestingly enough, body image issues and eating disorders and disordered eating patterns are actually really common in high level athletes. You may not realize this, but in a recent study that was done in NCAA Division I athletes, one out of three women reported attitudes and symptoms placing them at risk for anorexia. And then 62% of women were affected by disordered eating patterns. So that's a lot. And, you know, we need a support system. It's time to stop pretending it's not going on. And I think that's the worst thing, is pretending it's not going on and just making excuses. Oh, I'm eating healthy, or, you know, we're trying every fad diet, trying every cleanse. Just, I'm asking you today to be honest with yourself and to get support and surround yourself with people who are going to support you. And also people, you know, really, I think a key is to not hang around people who talk negative about their own bodies. It is an addictive culture. It's like gossip. It sucks you in, and we body bash. I challenge you and I dare you to walk away from those conversations. And if you have a friend you're trying to help, or a group of friends that are clearly approaching unhealthy eating patterns, I challenge you to separate yourself from them until the toxicity of those relationships can't affect you anymore, because we become and we take in that which we surround ourselves with. So I urge you to not let that be part of your life. Be aware of who you're hanging out with. Don't try to fix someone who's not willing to admit that they have a problem, because it will drain you and they will suck you into their negative and toxic patterns as well. You know, and I wanted to talk about, like I mentioned earlier, I want to talk about binge eating. Because one, it's an eating disorder I think a lot of people don't understand. We sort of write off of just saying, oh, I just can't control my appetite, or sometimes I overeat. And two, because it's part of my personal story, and part of my story that I, when I was in it, had so much shame about. The shame that comes with binge eating was overwhelming to me. It wasn't glamorous. I wasn't anorexic and, oh, I just, you know, I have so much control. It was the opposite. It was a pure lack of control. And I was horrified by it. And, you know, and I wanted to share my experience with you. And then also, since there have been some listeners that have requested that I touch on this subject, because I haven't really gone in depth to the amount that I, and the capacity that I really want to. And with binge eating, what's so interesting about it, it's really nearly impossible to physically identify as someone who struggles with binge eating, since binge eaters represent all types of bodies. I mean, I have worked with and counseled and trained binge people who struggle with binge eating disorder who are underweight, who are overweight, and who are at the ideal healthy body weight for themselves. And, you know, myself, my own story, I was always at the healthy body weight, so which is why no one suspected, no one had any idea, so to speak, that I had a problem with binge eating. So my story, let me share my story with you, and then we'll dig into that a little bit. So my story is that, you know, I went to a boarding school, and in high school, I can distinctively remember my sophomore year, there was a girl who was just so cool, and she told me I could be skinnier. You know, in boarding school, there's not a lot of, particularly it was an all-girls boarding school. So you can't, like, the competition was in how skinny you could be. It wasn't in who got the hotter boyfriend or, you know, there was, it was a whole sort of like a bubble. And I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I absolutely adored my school and I still do. And I would love for my daughter to go there. But in my particular story, I had this girl who, you know, said, "Hey, Trish, I think you should be skinnier." And I said, "Okay," because I really liked this girl and she was cool. And so she tried to teach me how to throw up. I mean, I remember exactly where I was. She brought me in the bathroom and taught me how to be bulimic. And then she tried to sell me diet pills. And to be honest, I found myself really stressed out with those solutions. Then I knew they were wrong and I didn't feel good. And I was terrible at throwing up. And so instead, I turned to food. I found myself, as a result of this pressure to be skinny, all of a sudden my awareness increased. And then I went, and then I was like, oh, and I had this fearful reaction where I started turning to food as a friend. And so food became my friend, because if my friends were measuring by how skinny I was, I realized that they weren't good friendships. So I turned to food as a friend and to make up. Meanwhile, though, I still wanted my quote unquote friends to think I was cool and pretty. And so I knew there was this it was an issue here. I was at a crossroads. And so I would when I ate and when I binged out of an emotional response or stress or loneliness, what I would do as a result was double or triple my workout routine. And happened to be that at boarding school, if you were on the dean's list, you didn't have to stay in your room for study hall. So at night, you could go to the gym or watch TV or whatever you wanted to do. So I got myself into a pattern of making sure I was always on dean's list. I was swimming 4 hours a day because I was, like I said, a competitive swimmer. And then at my 2 hours of study hall at night, I would go and exercise in the school gym as well, on top of my 4 hours. So that would make up for any of the Reese cups that I bought from the vending machine or the extra ice cream I ate at dessert at the dining hall. And so I found this way to compensate, and just found myself yo-yoing back and forth. And sometimes I would binge for 3 days in a row and I wouldn't eat for 3 days in a row. And sometimes it would be balanced every other day. And sometimes it was so unpredictable. And that's what scared me the most about it. What happened is I learned not to trust myself. Now, these patterns continue in college, typically binging 3 to 4 times a week. I was always alone. And as a result, I always did it in the dark. And I was always miserable. I beat myself up and punished myself mentally and physically for 24 to 48 hours after, every time I had an episode, so to speak. And as a result, I canceled social plans. I had really unhealthy relationships. I was fearful that my friends were going to judge me if they found out. I snuck food from my roommates. Another word would have been stole. That's probably the more appropriate. I, you know, ate their cereal, because when a binge comes on, there's this compulsion that you can't stop. And so I was so, like I said, just ashamed. I was mortified with my behavior. As a result, I sort of holed myself up and became a little bit of a hermit crab in my own apartment. And the problem is I'm extremely outgoing and social. So I was sort of sabotaging my personality, which is why you can understand. I said I was living 50% of Trish Blackwell. It was like 50 Trish Blackwell at 50% capacity and love. And you know, you become so self-absorbed in this kind of hamster wheel cycle. That every time I ate, I felt guilty, and the guilt would drive me to keep eating, and then the eating would just go until I just couldn't do it anymore. I felt sick, and then the self-hatred would start immediately, instantaneously, the regret, the how could I have? Oh, I'm these thoughts and the bully came out, and I started almost it was just this constant punishment cycle. I was disgusted with myself. I was disgusted with my secret. I was disgusted with my lack of control. I hated my body. And I thought, you know, here I am, this disciplined, high achieving student athlete, but I didn't even trust myself around food. What if I'm such a farce? I'm so disciplined, yet I can't even discipline myself and say no to that fifth cookie. Am I really disciplined? It made me question everything about myself. I really felt trapped, and I felt like I would never find freedom to live another way. I didn't actually think I had an eating disorder. I knew I had bad eating patterns. I knew it was a problem. I just thought I was pathetic, and I thought I was disgusting. And then I found Janine Roth's book called Breaking Free from Compulsive Eating. And I remember I was so embarrassed of it, the title, Breaking Free from Compulsive Eating, that I tore the front page off the book. It was a paperback cover. And so it was very easy to tear off, and I hid it under my bed. But I'll tell you what, it's the first time in my life that I felt that I wasn't alone. I realized that I wasn't a freak. I realized that there have been other millions of women who've gone through the same thing, and that it wasn't about me, but it was rather that I had an addiction to food. I had an addiction to a relationship that was unhealthy with food, and that I was using food as a drug in many ways to cover up my pain, my stress, my anxiety that were about other issues that were going on in my life. I was really just using food and this problem as a band-aid to distract myself from what really mattered in life, which were the things that I wasn't willing to face. And so what happened for me was that I hit rock bottom, and I was very passionate about the French language and wanting to study abroad in France. And my brother, who went to the same school as me, the same college, said to me, "Trish, you have a problem." And you sure as heck can't go live in a country that celebrates food like France when you're terrified to eat. I don't know what you're in for, but I'm not going to let it happen. You have a couple options. You either don't go to France or you get help. And I tell mom and dad. And so certainly, of course, that was a high enough motivation for me to go into counseling, to get help with a few trusted friends and counseling. I started having a focused effort to really reestablish my relationship with food and my relationship with my body. I realized that food wasn't the problem. Like I said, it was this drug that I was using to cover up this emotional pain and anxiety that I had buried down from years of just things I didn't want to confront in my history. And so I actually, my true breakthrough and my true healing happened in France when I was living abroad, studied abroad at first. And then after college, I moved and lived there for a year and taught English in the Bordeaux region, taught English to French children. And that's when I had this aha epiphany moment, which I actually described that whole journey in the process in my book, The Skinny Sexy Mind. And I came back from the experience with the need to write a book, because I had to share with people how dark my journey had been, and then how just in changing your thoughts and in changing your perspective and getting the right types of resources and help, that even someone who was the least likely to ever find freedom and help and get healed could make it happen and could get and find that freedom. And so if I was able to, I wanted to share it with others, which is why I wrote my first book, The Skinny Sexy Mind. You can get that from my website or at Amazon if it's something that you'd be interested in hearing about. But in that, I go into all the reasons of all the epiphanies I had, how my mind changed, how my relationship with food changed, how I started eating right foods, was able to cut down on binging, and eventually make that part of my past, not my present. And it's not something I fear in my future either. It's part of my story that's made me a better I mean, it's part of what's formed me and refined me into being who I am. So if you're someone that struggles with any sort of disorder, I don't want you to have any shame or fear that it's going to come back, but really to look back and with it with gratitude and to realize that, you know, it's unfortunate that I lost a lot of, I want to say years of my life, but I did. I lost a lot of life by only really living at this 50% capacity that I'm talking about. I lost a lot of life and opportunity and joy by always being so self-absorbed or just fearful and obsessed and consumed and overwhelmed with thinking about food or calories or eating or exercise or whatever, or worrying about what other people were thinking of me. I look back and I wasted it. And I want you to realize that you didn't waste your life, or you haven't wasted years of your life. And as someone with a story similar to mine, if you are able to look back and say, gosh, I'm so grateful that I know how dark and severe that pain can be, because I know that that's not living. I refuse to continue to live that way anymore. And as a result, I want to live life to the fullest. I am making up right now for all the life that I didn't live then. And you know what else? I am determined to help make sure that nobody else ever has to experience the loneliness, pain, and fear and anxiety and imprisonment that I felt. I felt like I was a person stuck inside my own skin, clawing to get out, but having no idea how to even breathe or to unzip myself from the inside out. And that's why I really want to, when I started podcasting, my very first show was called From the Inside Out. And as I mentioned, I now have that available on my website. You can get access to all of my archived podcast episodes, everyone I've ever recorded, including the From the Inside Out series, which were 34 episodes. It's trishblackwell.com/podcasts-list. But my point is that once I realized that I could have another way to live, and now that I'm living that, I'm so determined to make sure that no one else feels that they have to experience that kind of pain. You don't. I don't want anybody to have to go through what I went through, and there are millions of people out there doing that. And I'll tell you what, by golly, there's another way to do it. There's another way to live, and there is hope. So I want to dive into, obviously I recommend my book. I recommend, highly recommend that you pick up any book by Jeanine Roth. Her name is spelled G-E-N-E-E-N. Last name is R-O-T-H. I'll have her information in my show notes as well for you, but she's phenomenal, and she is the guru on eating books, on disordered eating patterns and eating disorder books. She's amazing. And just, I'll tell you, it was life-changing. It's a book that changed my life. And so I highly recommend it to you. But if it's either you or someone you care about that might be suffering from an eating disorder, I just want you to know it's really important to educate yourself and seek professional guidance as soon as possible, because intervention is the key to successful recovery. You cannot just fix yourself. You can't stay in the dark and not be willing to speak up, because you know what? This kind of disease, this disease and addiction of an eating disorder, it breeds upon itself in darkness. The less you talk about it, the less chance you have to be free. I need you to be able to stand up and step up and say, you know what? It's not supposed to be like this. I can find a way to live healthier. But if you're unwilling to admit that you have a problem, if you're unwilling to admit that you're unhealthy, or that there you could be healthier, that maybe some negative thinking patterns are consuming your mind, you can't. It's not just going to get fixed. You have to acknowledge it and take ownership of it first in order to move forward. That's the key to the intervention. So, there's a really great toolkits on this National Eating Disorder website. I do want to reference you to it. It will be in the show notes as well. This is something I wish that was around for when I was really needing it, for my parents. I know there's a lot of parents out there, and you probably have children that are struggling with this. And I've worked with a lot of parents before with my coaching services, and that it's a difficult thing to watch someone you love struggle and not know how to understand or how to talk to them. And this is what you need. These are resources for you. The address is nedawareness.org/get-help/NEDA-toolkits. So it's, again, it's nedawareness.org/get-help/NEDA-toolkits. So there's toolkits on that website that are free for parents, for educators, for coaches, for athletic trainers. I looked at a couple of them. They're like a 100-page PDF document. They're awesome. It's everything you need to know. So please reach out and use that resource. Also, if you or someone you know needs help, there is a hotline and helpline that they have that the National Eating Disorder Awareness has, and it is 1-800-931-2237. Again, that's 1-800-931-2237. You know, and just in closing out here, I wanted to tell you there are other ways to help, ways you can help yourself or ways you can help someone you love. First and foremost, be someone who speaks words of life to others. Always be encouraging. Choose to tell someone how beautiful their eyes are, how much you like their outfit. You can never over compliment someone. Never be the type of person who can over build up people. It's just not possible. We all need to be built up. We all need to be encouraged. You have no idea what someone might be feeling about themselves and what that compliment might do to them. But same way, speak compliments to yourself, even when you don't feel like them. Also, ask the right questions. Don't dance around the bush if you think that somebody's having a problem or if you think you have a problem. Ask yourself the right questions. Go back to that question I asked of, in a given day, what percentage of your thought life is consumed by thoughts about your image? And be really honest with yourself. Ask yourself the right questions, because if you're not going to be willing to be truthful about this with yourself or with somebody else, then there's really no hope. Then you're going to be stuck in the hamster wheel. And you know what? I tell you what, I wish I had been more honest with myself years before. I mean, if I hadn't, maybe my disorder would have only lasted a year. Instead, it lasted 10. It's a long time to be really unhappy with yourself. And I don't recommend for anybody else to experience something the way I did. Also, buy some books. Like I mentioned, you can certainly buy The Skinny Sexy Mind. I wrote that from a place of passion, and I really hope my story can be of encouragement to you as well. But then also certainly Jeanine Roth's books are highly, highly, highly recommended. Understand that disordered eating patterns are as dangerous as an eating disorder. I think sometimes we think, well, it's not a full blown eating disorder. It's not that big of a deal. It is. Disordered eating patterns are as serious, because they actually last longer. And they become, and they develop into eating disorders. Disordered eating patterns, if you will, are the gateway drug of eating disorders. It's the best way I could put it. Keep in mind that just because somebody isn't skin and bones doesn't mean that they aren't terribly, terribly sick. And maybe a line you've been telling yourself, well, I'm not, you know, hospitalized because I can't keep food down. It's the opposite. Make sure you're not judging people on, or yourself based on, on what you look like, and determining whether you're healthy or not, whether you have a problem based on that. Because remember, eating disorders don't discriminate. Be someone of integrity that can be trusted. So if you are reaching out to support or help someone, it's a really, really sensitive subject. And so many people have kept it quiet for years. And sharing a struggle with anyone is terrifying. They need to know that you're safe to speak with, and that you're to be trusted, and that you're a vault of information, that you will keep them, their secrets safe, that you're not going to go and gossip about them behind their back or talk poorly of them, that you got to be very tender with this issue. Also know that eating disorders never really fully go away. Don't expect to get better, or for someone to quote unquote get better overnight. Encourage them to stay plugged into resources, positive resources that will help them continue to monitor and grow a positive relationship with food and with their body. You know, in the same way, I really, for my own personal story, I liken my eating disorder very much to a alcoholism or an addiction of any type. Is that, you know, you're recovered, but there's always going to be that small percentage of you that has a temptation to backslide or fall back, that you've got a propensity. Now, I'm completely free and I have freedom and I'm healed, but I have a propensity to fall back into old thinking patterns. So I have to be on guard. I have to choose to be proactive in my thinking, proactive in how I see myself, proactive in the influences I allowed to be in my mind, in reminding myself that the images I see are all manipulated. I have to keep pushing truth to the front of my mind so that the lies of my past don't resurface. So just keep in mind that this is not just a one and done. It's not just, oh, you're better. But it's a lifelong decision to stay proactively positive and growing in your relationship with food and your relationship with your thought life. And then finally, encourage, encourage, you know, yourself or anyone you love that's maybe stuck in some negative patterns, that, you know what, there's a better way to live. I really like thinking about living at 50% capacity, at half capacity versus full capacity. And you know what, how much joy and freedom you can have when you live at full capacity. Another thing to do, guys, is to never engage. I mean, adamantly refuse to engage in negative body talk ever. Step away from conversations. Walk away. When you catch yourself doing your own negative body talk, step on your own foot. Kick yourself. Tell yourself, no, this is not acceptable anymore. It's not okay to bully myself. It's just simply not acceptable. If you start setting standards of what is acceptable to think and say about yourself and your body and what is not, then you're on your way already to healing or to helping others be in a place in their life where they can positively grow and heal as well. Finally, another resource that for those of you who want to read about someone's inside experience and inside of a eating disorder recovery program, it's from a listener of ours for the show. She's been a longtime member of the podcast. She's amazing. Her name is Carissa, and her website, she just posted a really great blog post that I asked that we could share. And her website is abandonperfection.wordpress.com, and it's /2015/02/10/recovery-2015-crazy-girl-camp-part-deux. Spelt French, DEUX. Don't worry, that's long, I know, but I'm going to put it in my show notes. You guys can find the link to the show notes for this episode at trishblackwell.com/98. And we're going to close out the show today with the listener of the episode. And listener of the episode is Angelica. And Angelica says, hey, Trish, I just graduated from the Insecurity Detox Program today and I really enjoyed it. I just want to say thank you for your podcast and for the work that you do. I stumbled upon your podcast about a month ago while searching for something inspiring to listen to while I worked out. At that time, I felt stuck and a little down, but lately I've been able to turn my thinking around much due to hearing your message over and over. I listen to your podcast whenever I have free time during the day and also during my workouts. I love the casual style you deliver your messages and also your optimism that comes through so clearly in your voice. It is so encouraging. I'm so very grateful to the internet that has made it possible for people like you to put your message and products out there. It's hard to imagine that just a few years ago, all publishing radio shows were controlled by elite few. Now there are no gatekeepers to hold us back, and the world is so much more beautiful for it. That makes me happy and grateful. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you for all that you do. And you know what, Angelica, I want to highlight you as a listener episode because you completed the Insecurity Detox, but also because you pointed out something so beautiful in your letter. It has nothing to do with me, and that's why I wanted to share it. There are no gatekeepers, you say, that hold us back. And girl, you hit it on the mark, on the nail there. There are no gatekeepers holding us back. What was possible that wasn't possible 10 years ago is possible today. As you think about your dreams, as you think about your goals, as we think about living life at full capacity versus half capacity, I want you guys to realize that the gatekeepers of life aren't there as much as they were anymore, as they were in the past. There is an opportunity for you to make a significant difference in this world with your story, a story that you right now might think, I have nothing to give. I'm in this dark place. It's exactly from our places of darkness that our light shines once we break free, once we grow with God and realize that there is a better way to live. It's those dark places that make us relatable, that help us empathize and understand pain. So we really understand what joy and abundance feels like and freedom. So for those of you out there who are, maybe you're discouraged, maybe you feel like you're in this dark place, or maybe you are encouraged and you're like on the rise and you're just so excited to start living at full capacity and find healing. Wherever you are, I want you to hear what Angelica said is there are no gatekeepers holding you back. Your story matters. And the painful parts of your story have a purpose. So I want you to think that and look at them with an attitude of gratitude, because there is something beautiful that grew in you from that experience, no matter how painful it was. So you can forgive yourself. You can forgive others who maybe were part of that pain. And you can look to help other people who are struggling and are so alone right now and have no idea that pain is something that they can overcome, that they can find freedom from, that they can find healing from. And that someone like you with a story as powerful as yours could share and encourage it with them. So guys, there are no gatekeepers. When you think about your dreams, realize that you got big dreams in your heart for a reason. So stop second-guessing them. Stop shrugging them off to the side. Stop playing small and realize that you've got big things to pursue and you've got people's lives to influence. And it starts with your story. And this, remember, those painful stories are the ones that really can help people the most. And I hope that's a word of encouragement to you today as we close out this episode on eating disorders. I know it's a tough subject to talk about, but you know what? I'm determined to talk about the things that no one else wants to talk about, because we got to shed light on the darkness. Talking about something sheds light. It shines light. And things can't, once you shine light into darkness, the darkness starts to get a little bit lighter. The pitch black starts to go away and fades. And I want you to shine your light and help that pitch black fade. And if we all keep shining, we're going to have a very, very, very bright world. Because go be more of who you are today. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.